The Health Fix podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode is a little bit of a different one. We're going to be talking about developing businesses. And we're going to be talking about reinventing businesses, even in this COVID era. I'm going to be chatting all with my co-host today, Tara Viswanathan. Oh, I didn't say that right. We're just going to do this all over. Forget it. I'll do it on my own, Tara. So... Nevertheless,
you're good.
We'll redo it. So let's just jump into the podcast. Tara, welcome to the Health Fix.
Thanks, Janine. So excited to be here.
So you had mentioned that you have developed and started multiple businesses. That's kind of like your thing. And because this podcast is all about women and empowering women, but also just giving some tips in terms of life and whatnot, I would love, love, love to hear from you. Like, what was your first business concept? Because I know that you have a background of connecting health business, you know, working on mixing business design and engineering to create businesses for the healthcare industry. What was your first idea? What was your first thing that came out?
Oh my gosh, Janine, nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think back. The one that I remember, and I'm sure there were other business type things, but the one that is definitely sticks out in my mind is like the first real thing was 12 years old, seventh grade, making and selling duct tape purses to people at the mall. Like I literally stand outside Hot Topic and like try to sell these things.
Oh my God. That is awesome. And how was business? Was it good? What happened?
No, I think the thing that I learned there was I was much more excited about creating and delivering something that makes people happy than I was about the mechanics of building. So I had somewhat enlisted my friends. My friends would come over to my house and I kind of built like a mini duct tape purse factory where some of them would make the like sheets and then some of them would cut out. And then I'd be sitting there and it just suddenly wasn't that fun anymore because I like just creating things and making them for people. So how was business? Oh my God, it probably stopped. It stopped very soon after I started selling them.
Hey, I give you credit though. I mean, there's something to be said about trying, right? Because many of us have ideas and they're like floating in our head. And now with COVID, so many people, you know, have either lost their jobs or their jobs have changed. And I think there's a lot of folks coming up with new creativity and thought process in terms of, how can I make this work better or how can I shift
right.
But they're just ideas, right? They wouldn't actually do it. And
right.
You like at 12, oh my God, I would have been so scared. I would have been hiding in the Hot Topic, like trying to like do something and it never would have happened.
Oh my gosh. No, I doubt that with just getting to know you and your personality. I doubt that. However, I do think that that's probably the biggest lesson I've learned over the years is to do anything, you have to just do it. There is no way to plan starting something or to put, you know, to create the perfect business plan or to get all of the pieces of your life in place so that you can do something. The only way to do it is just to do it. And to this day, I've started multiple things. To this day, it's still terrifying to start to get over that hump and to actually do it. But that's the only way.
Makes sense. So of course, what brought us together and for me to want to interview you is because I use your current business, Rupa Health. And for those of you that listen to my intro when I do it properly, it is me talking about how, you know, Tara really came in at a time I was forgetting to order lab kits. And I kept, you know, telling patients like, okay, give me a week, I'll get these lab kits in. And then I would forget that I told them that I would get the lab kit and they had to hunt me down. And it was this conundrum. And I felt terrible because I'm like, wow, I am so not on it. And Tara came in and was like, hey, I have this business that can help connect you with multiple lab kits for these companies. And so the way it works, folks, is that I will submit in my patient's name and we can submit email and phone, and then you get a message that says, hey, your doc's ordered this kit, you pay through Rupa, and it gets sent to you. You get like instructions, where to go for labs, all that stuff. And it takes a lot off of me being incompetent in the ordering of kits department. It's genius. So where did you come up with this idea?
Oh my gosh. Thank you. I feel like we need to hire you to carry around. That was amazing. Thank you. It wasn't, well, I'll tell you what it wasn't. It wasn't me waking up one day and saying, oh my gosh, we need to bring all the labs together and serve integrative and functional medicine doctors and get them, you know, get patients better lab testing because that's a broken process. It was definitely not that. So we've been around for 3 years, nearly 3 years at this point. And this is kind of the third iteration of our business. The very first one was actually a marketplace. So I have been passionate about how do we bring root cause medicine to more people for the last, 10, 12 years before I knew that there was even an industry like functional medicine, that gets into root cause medicine. I just knew that there had to be a better way of living and a better way of taking care of ourselves. And that, that's a whole nother story about how it led me to this journey of discovering root cause medicine, functional medicine, and then realizing that we needed to bring it to more people. And it's not even close to where it needs to be right now. And so my entire purpose became distributing this form of medicine to everybody. And the first thing I thought of was, well, we need to help patients find these amazing practitioners who already exist. And I actually had come from a company called Parsley Health. That was kind of one of the first ones in the space. And I was helping get that started and kicked off. And that's when I realized there are already so many wonderful practitioners. How do we help them? The first product was, hey, patients, you can go online like you would for Yelp or ZocDoc or any of those places and find functional medicine providers in, the Bay Area is all it started out as. And that actually ended up turning into a virtual clinic that was open in 3 states. So California, Washington, and Colorado. And then by building our virtual clinic, we discovered the huge problem of lab testing. And then we basically had to shut down our clinic because the lab testing part of it became so popular that we ended up just focusing on that. So, I mean, it was one thing led to another. And now we're here. And then, by the way, I don't foresee us leaving the lab space for a very long time, but it often takes that, right? It often takes all of those different trials and iterations to land on the thing that the world needs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's crazy how you went from one to the next. Now, did anyone pick up the virtual clinic or no, just did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So we had it open. We had doctors in every state. And we, this was last year, maybe a year and change ago. And we had patients and it was functioning and our team was the virtual admin. And it was, so by the way, it was a telemedicine clinic and nice. We knew that was the problem was
right.
getting these patients and providers together and delivering the care. But, it's, I think so much, and I'm sure we'll talk about this and you get it, is like focusing on your niche. Like what are you 100x better at than everybody else?
Yep. Which makes sense, and looking at for how you're designing things, I can see because there's so much you can do with functional lab kits and ordering and then building on top of that. I mean, there's a lot you can do. Now, I'm guessing that along the way, there's been some ups and downs with these things. And you're so smiley. And you mentioned even on one of the things I read about you that you're always laughing, or someone says you're always laughing. And it's true. Like, how do you keep your smile is amazing. How do you keep positive with all of the ups and downs with the different things that happen with these businesses?
Oh, my gosh. It's hilarious. Like, if you could only see, if you could be a fly on the wall to watch me, it is not bad. Like we're for reference, we're talking on a Sunday afternoon, right? So yeah, all smiles for the sunshine in San Francisco right now. No, but truthfully, Jeanine, it's so hard. Like I can't claim this, this phrase. So my partner also runs a business. And I mean, two people running a business in a relationship is a whole thing we can dive into, but he told me this phrase and I've adopted it since then because I think it's so true. And it's, if you can do anything else other than start a business, like if you can, then you probably should do it. Then do it, right? Because this is one of the most challenging, yet one of the most rewarding thing that I have ever done in my life. And I think most people who start their own companies will say the same, you know, outside of having children and building a family, like this is the thing that helps you grow and helps you know who you are and helps you, you know, helps you define what you want in life more than anything else. And it's super hard. I mean, it's not about ups and downs on the months. It's like ups and downs every single day.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. No, I just spoke on a podcast and said, I have a room in my office where I can lay down and breathe, because sometimes it just like you're up here and you're like, what am I going to do?
And yeah. I do lots of things. Like tactically speaking, I do lots of things to try to keep myself sane. So I'm a big believer in solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I try to have empty thinking time every single morning. So I'll journal. And this is not like one of those, it's so funny because I have so many friends who ask me, how did you get yourself to journal? Like, how did you stick to that commitment? Like, it's not that, it's that I just really enjoy it. And that it calls me, right? Any habit that I don't like doing, it will never become a habit. That is something, you know, you hear from Tim Ferriss and all these people who are like, everybody should morning journal. And honestly, I do it because it helps me, and I wouldn't be able to hear myself if I didn't do that. I've learned over time that, and you can probably tell as I'm talking to you this thing, which is I am a talk to thinker, not a think to talker. Mm-hmm. So I need to verbalize to be able to understand what's going on, the nonsense in my head, versus some other people are, they think in their head and then they speak. So for me, sometimes starting your own business is the loneliest road, because you're truly like by yourself. And especially if you're the CEO or the only person, or, you know, you're starting from zero, like it really can be lonely. And so for me, because I didn't have that talking outlet all the time, I write it down, and that's how I can understand my thoughts and not go crazy.
No, I think there's something to be said about journaling. There's even some research where it shows that legitimately, like, journaling and gratitude stuff, all of that has the potential to lower cortisol. And what business owner doesn't wake up in the morning and is like, okay, I have 400 things to do right now. Like, how do I get this out of my brain? It's impressive. Sometimes how we can categorize and dump it out, and how we did when we weren't journaling. Cause I have to do it too. Not even have to, I enjoy it because it's like how I get my mind right before the day goes.
Yeah, there's one of my favorite essays. It's, if you Google it, it's called Solitude and Leadership. Hmm. It is phenomenal. I think the American Scholar is like the top link that pops up for that, but it is phenomenal. And it talks about how important solitude is for leadership. It talks about how for leadership, it's not about how many followers you have. It's about doing something different. And so you're not a leader just because you have a lot of people following you. You're a leader because you're paving the way. And so anybody who's starting their own thing is a leader who needs to pave their way. However, we can never have our own beliefs or opinions to form independent thoughts to pave our own way if we don't sit with ourselves and have quiet time. And so I think it's phenomenal. I think the source of most of my unhappiness, you know, borderline depression, borderline, you know, you have these, everybody, I think when you're starting to, you have your thoughts, am I normally this upset? Am I being overly emotional? You know, like, am I crying too much? Like all the things, right? And in those moments, it's been because my cup is just too full and I can't hear myself anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a like genius statement. And I think it's something that a lot of people, even in just regular life, could, you know, take that and be like, I need some thinking time. There's a guy that's got a book, The Road Less Stupid. Keith Cunningham, I think Keith J. Cunningham, I think is his name. And he talks about thinking time in your business, but I think thinking time in related to life.
Yeah.
Can help you get your mind right and get you back on track and going.
Right. And the other thing I do is, I've somewhat, I don't know if this is like PC or not. I mean this in the most respectful way, but I've stolen some Jewish traditions. Yeah. Because I admire that religion. And I'm personally not religious at all, but I've started doing like Shabbat dinners and somewhat respecting the Sabbath. So I, up until this only started maybe in August or July or August. So I've started taking Saturdays, not checking my email entirely. And it has changed how my cycle of ups and downs, it has changed that dramatically. I didn't realize that taking a full day where I'm not looking at email, that doesn't mean I'm not thinking about things. It just means I'm not responding. Yeah. And I'm not reacting. And it's been wonderful.
Oh, it's so freeing. It's so freeing. I started doing it. And then I got in this like, oh, I need to be more productive, AKA not productive.
Ugh. Yeah.
I've done
exactly.
That.
Exactly.
That's awesome. I think that's smart for everyone to consider disconnect one day. Now, do you not check email? Do you put the phone down and like literally like no technology, or how does it go?
I use technology to connect with people. Mm-hmm. So that is my day. I'm a big believer in energy management. Mm-hmm. And I think that the piece of energy management that I was almost like consistently avoiding, or maybe not even realizing that it was important, was emotional and spiritual renewal. So if we think about the four different types of renewal, right? There are four different types of energy. There's mental, physical, spiritual, and emotional. Mm-hmm. And I think we're in this world where we believe take like 30 years ago or 20 years ago before wellness was the movement that it is today. We just thought we should be able to mentally go. And we didn't really need much renewal, right? Because our life had built in renewal for us, right? We didn't have technology. We didn't have all that. So then we're all starting to go in overdrive and we suddenly are like, oh my God, physical renewal. And so now we are in this cycle where we think that if we just sleep enough and if we just exercise enough, we're going to be on top of our game. But that's not true. We need emotional and spiritual nourishment too. So I've been really trying to include more spiritual and emotional nourishment. And for me, that is connecting with the people closest to me on my Saturdays.
Nice. And what do you guys do? Do you go for walks? Do you go for hikes? Do you get out and about? Like, I know it's kind of hard with COVID, yeah. But like, what's your favorite way to just reconnect spiritually?
Oh my gosh.
And emotionally.
For me, it can be as simple as cleaning my apartment on the phone with a really good friend. It can be that simple, but my favorite thing, I love hot springs. And I'm in Northern California, so there's an abundance of these that I can go to. And I love cliffs and ocean views. So like Big Sur, there's a place in Carmel that is my favorite place on earth that I will go for like a day. That place is special to me for a variety of reasons, but it's called The Refuge. And it's an outdoor hot cold experience. So it's silent, it's meditative. So I'll go there with friends. Like we'll do like a little day trip, we'll drive down. And I've actually done this with our team too. We did like a leadership retreat where we drove down and it was, there's a sauna, a cold plunge, hot tub, fire pits, and, you know, rinse and repeat the cycle. And it's totally silent. You're just reading. That's one of my favorite ways to fill up.
That sounds amazing. Okay. The Refuge. I'm going to write that down, folks. All this will be in my podcast notes. Don't worry. We will not leave you hanging. That sounds so awesome. And then Carmel, I mean.
Yeah. Well, Big Sur and Esalen and all the things.
Oh, so lovely. We were talking before we started recording about not being that far, because I'm in Tacoma, you're in San Francisco. I'm like, that drive down that 101. That's where it's at.
Not bad. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Such a wonderful drive. I love just the concept of silence and just like you said, solitude, just not speaking for a while, just chilling. I think we need this. Like, this is such a missing link in so many ways. I love that you brought your team too. Now, are you telling your team if someone gets a little, you know, emotional or getting a little out of sorts, or are you like, hey, go get your mind right, go relax?
I do, actually. We just had someone who was burning out. And I just told her, I was like, look, your energy is the most important thing. Just take this week off. Fully off, disconnect, unplug, and come back next week and let's talk. We'll handle everything in between. I think that is the most important thing. Recently, our team read, everybody on the team read Reed Hastings' book, Netflix, No Rules, Rules.
Nice.
And it talks about this type of culture and how do you, you know, they're one of the first people who pioneered the no vacation policy culture. And there's a lot we can get into there, but I think the most important thing is using that time off to actually be your best self. I see it as an investment, not as an expense.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's huge. That is huge. I only have one employee. So not a whole big team of sorts, but she definitely, if she needs time off, we do that. But I think a lot of folks are stuck in situations where unfortunately they don't have that. And it's so, like, when I work with different companies, I can see the companies that are much more, you know, accepting of the need for folks to take care of themselves.
Absolutely. I think that it's incredibly, so there's a lot of thoughts on the no vacation policy or even just a lot of vacation. And I think vacation is the wrong word. I almost think of it as like renewal or nourishment or something like that. But, I think the hard part is actually teaching people and learning enough about myself to know what I need and when, because we are so out of touch with how we're feeling. And I will go to the brink of burnout even now because I don't recognize it. And it comes in all different types of flavors. And so that's been a constant source of learning for me. I recently, like 2 weeks ago, where, you know, I think about like my different buckets of life, and let's say work stress is going to be at a certain level. Let's say, you know, out of 0 to 100, it's like 70 consistently or something. Right. Then maybe if there's a crazy work spike, maybe I'll go over 100. But usually it'll be around 70, but add in, you know, maybe relationship stress or traveling or something else. And it's this combination where I'm overflowing and I don't realize it until I'm already there. So even just a few weeks ago, I noticed in my body, I was like, oh no, I feel it now because I'm so familiar with it because I've gone through these cycles multiple times since starting this business. I'm like, okay, I now know I need to quit coffee. I need to start like everything that is destroying my cortisol, spiking my cortisol to flatlining it now. Yeah. Just it's tough to know yourself.
It is, isn't it? Oh my God. I feel like that has been like the hardest journey for me, knowing, like you said, knowing the triggers, because I too, well, I will still be like tired, wired, jittery. And I'm like, no, I'm still going. I'm going to do this. And I'm like, oh, you idiot. You know, right now that you've taken on too much, you know, you pushed yourself to the limits.
Oh my God. And then you're like, yeah, I'm the doctor. Like, oh my. And I feel the same way. I'm like, no, I'm supposed to be setting a good example. What am I doing?
Right. Right. Like what the heck? What in the world? No, it's totally what happens. And it's good to hear, you know, and I think for a lot of the listeners, it's good for folks to hear that, like, we know we've seen our signals, but sometimes it just keeps happening. Maybe it has to happen a certain amount of times before we fully are like, okay, let's, you know, put this stuff in check.
Yeah. And I heard a couple things recently that made me giggle a little because they're so true. I think it was a Matthew McConaughey and Tim Ferriss podcast I listened to like while driving to a treehouse in Oregon over Thanksgiving. That was super fun. But he said something about, and I'm totally butchering this, but it was along the lines of, you know, we're always searching for that perfect balance and we're never going to reach it, right? We're going to touch it and come back up and touch it and come back. And then similarly, I forgot who, I think this was like from a Tony Robbins thing. And he said, no being is supposed to sit at the top forever. And you can take it to your personal life where we're not meant to just be totally stable and plateau and be happy forever. we're meant to continuously like go in cycles. And so that almost gave me more compassion for myself.
Right.
Going in cycles. Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, okay, I'm never going to get there. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Cause there is this concept. And I think a lot of us females have this concept of having to be perfect and like having to have all of our ducks in a row. And I've told people so many times, I do not have my stuff 100% together. No one does. And even anyone that says that they do or make you think that they do.
Oh, oh my gosh. Yeah. I struggle with that perfectionism as I think most women do of, wanting to do it all, believing I can do it all, needing to appear to do it all, you know, all of that.
But you've stepped forward and created some seriously cool businesses. I mean, and you know, with Rupa Health. Now, I'm curious, where's the name coming from with the business?
Oh, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Where did that come from?
So there's multiple stories around the name. The real story is just, is actually the story that every, you know, PR firm is like, I hate that story. Don't say that. But this is the real story.
The real is better.
Which is, you know, I started this business with an idea and like $10,000 in my bank account. And that was it. And I had no idea where it was going to go, what was going to happen, like just no idea. And all I knew was that I believed Root Cause Medicine, functional medicine needed a rebrand so that it's more acceptable we needed to show to the world its legitimacy so that it is more widely accepted. And so part of the naming was, it was three parts. One is, or maybe four, it needs to be something simple that people can remember. Mm-hmm. Second is, unfortunately, every like legitimate health company has the name health after it. So as much as I didn't want to be something health, I knew we had to be something health because we were erring on the side of how do we become accepted? How do we create a new standard of care? And so it needed to be something health that was easy to say. The third is that it needed to be a $9.99 domain because I didn't have the money anything beyond that. And it needed to be a .com, again, for legitimacy. So, and then the last thing is, it needs, I guess, five things. It also needed to be something that was unrelated actually to health, because then we wanted to be the top Google search. So right. I don't want to have to compete with all the blogs on why avocado, like if this was avocado health, how many articles are there on like avocado health?
Right.
So the health benefits of avocados. So it had to be something unrelated. And actually, I don't know if I've ever like actually publicly shared this. The name was initially C-Star Health, which is so random. But it was just, again, it was available as $9.99. My name means star. I love the ocean. Like just there's so many parts of that. And then I ended up right before I started the company going on a 10-day silent Vipassana. And in the Vipassana, they talked about this concept of Rupa, which is Sanskrit for matter, like physical matter. And I was like, oh my gosh, I love that. And it also happens to be my mom's nickname from one of her cousins. Nice. And so, and part of the reason for starting it was helping my mom when she was sick and going through a situation. It's like, oh, Rupa Health. And I came back and it was $9.99 and it was a .com and it was easy to say and it's all the things.
That's awesome.
So is that, everybody's like, just say it's your mom's nickname. Like, but even if it had been my mom's nickname, if it wasn't a $9.99 domain, I wouldn't have used it.
Hey, it was like, must have been perfect alignment.
It was perfect. Yeah.
With the stars, and everything.
Exactly. And the stars aligned. The sea stars aligned.
That's so cool. All right. So now I know the background because of course I'm one of those people that like, I will call labs and be like, well, why do you call it, you know, this lab or that lab? And why do you call it the Dutch test? Why do you call it, you know, I mean, when you hear Dutch, and by the way, folks who are listening to this, the Dutch test is one of the tests that you can order for Rupa Health. And anyway, they were like, it has nothing to do with being Dutch. Because at first I thought, oh, like these Dutch people created this test, you know? And then like there was the test ZRT, right? So that's David Zava's his name. So I'm like, yeah. Okay. So anyway, there's just interesting. I like the story behind why, because I think it helps folks connect a little bit more to it. And
yeah.
Now your mom has her perfect stars alignment business that goes with it.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's what I think about it. I've never thought about it. My mom's business is kind of named after me, which is really funny. Yeah. Oh. I didn't actually think about that. Well, me and my brother, but still, but, fun stuff. I just put that together.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So,
there's something with you guys in naming. And yeah, as long as it's $9.99.
Exactly. Exactly.
Ask your mom if your domain for her business was $9.99.
I'm sure it was. That's like my mom's nature too.
No, I'm totally like that. I'm like, I'm not. It's, you know,
yeah,
buy a domain off someone for like $1,000 or more, whatever some of these prices are. My gosh.
Yeah. Crazy.
Ay, ay, ay. So what? I mean, for most folks that are sitting in this world of, you know, maybe they're thinking about creating a business now that COVID kind of twisted things up for them a little bit, or maybe they're like feeling a little burnt out. What would you say to someone? Because I saw a great post where you said Oprah has 24 hours too. And
yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's genius. What would you say to someone who's kind of thinking about this, the business, but they're, you know, they haven't even stepped out to create it yet, but they're already overwhelmed. What would you say for someone in that department where they're just starting to ramp things up? What would be some advice?
Yeah. Well, first thing I'd say is I've been there. Mm-hmm. So I feel that. And the second thing is something my brother told me. Because right when I started, it was me by myself and I was burning out and I was overwhelmed. I didn't know what direction to take. And I was frustrated with myself because I thought that that is when it should have been the easiest because I had no employees. I didn't have any investment. Like I had no one to be responsible to except for myself. And he sat me down and he was like, Tara, this is not when it's the hardest. Sorry, this is not when it's the easiest. This is when it's the absolute hardest. In the future, you will have people, you will have resources, you will have things to that pull you every day. But in the beginning, in this abyss of I'm not sure and question marks and, you know, way too much information, this is the hardest it will ever be. And I have found that to be true. The beginning is absolutely the hardest. You're questioning yourself. It's not in your identity. I think that identity is one of the strongest drivers of our, you know, human motivation. And in the beginning, your identity is not, I am someone with XYZ business. I am founder and CEO of X business, right? It is, I'm someone who might be venturing. I'm someone who's strongly identified with whatever I'm doing in the past. And now I'm trying to do something new and it's scary. I'd say, you know, my advice is to pick a deadline and put something out in the world.
I love it. All right. I'm putting that on the notes, folks. Pick a deadline and just do it. Deadline and do it. And put it out. I think we think a lot and we don't execute as yep. much as we totally could. And I think that there's a lot of folks out there that probably have some really great ideas and they haven't necessarily jumped on them. And in your case, I know that I'm not the only one that sucks at ordering lab kits. I'm sure I'm not. And I know that, you know, with COVID, it's been a game changer because now I can put in the information, send a kit to a patient. They can do the kit at home, send it in, and then we do a virtual to talk yeah. about the labs. And so this, you know, for folks who are listening, Tara has created a business that's literally helped all of us to be able to connect better with you, but also get the testing and the answers that you need. And so you were briefly mentioning a little bit about mom. And I'm guessing mom was looking for some answers and wanting to be connected with a way she could get specialty labs.
Oh my gosh. Not even with mom. Mom was just sick. And we didn't know what was going on. And dad ran the pediatric ICU, very Western medicine focused doctor in our hometown in Texas, in the middle of nowhere. He by himself for a million people population, like working 24 hours a day for, you know, 24/7 for 20 years without a break, just insane. So, you know, and to this day, he's like, are you sure fat's like not bad for you? Very Western medicine, right? My mom was sick and we didn't know what was going on. And I flew home and I had studied this enough, and I'm not a doctor, and I want to make that clear also for those of you who want to start something where you don't feel like you're an expert. You don't have to be. When, you know, that's another thing. But mom, we had no idea what was going on. And dad was just doing his best, exactly what he'd been trained, which was antibiotics, steroid shots, like, you know, antiviral, and yeah, everything. That's all I knew. And it was getting worse and worse and scary, and no diagnosis from multiple doctors. And I had to fight to get her labs because it wasn't normal to get these specialty in-depth labs. And as you know, this is one of the most important steps in understanding the root cause and really treating from the inside out, is understanding what's going on in your body. And that's what lab testing does. And so looking at her results, it was somewhat of what I suspected. So it was a mystery skin condition that was kind of taking over her entire body. And it was a lot of gut issues, a lot of thyroid issues, a lot of nutrient deficiencies. And we changed that. And this is, by the way, the third time it'd come up in a couple of years, wow, I believe. And since then, that was almost 4 years ago now, nothing. She's been fine, changed her diet, put her on supplements, you know, the whole thing, exactly what we'd expect. But that was the moment I was like, we need to bring this to more people. How do we do that?
Yeah. No, it's the perfect way to connect us folks who are in the functional medicine and naturopathic medicine, or anyone who's into advanced labs. It's a great way to connect us with being able to get everything to you. Now, of course, at this point, for folks listening, you can't just like go to rupahealth.com and order your own kits. At some point in time, I don't know, maybe that might be if you get a doc on board and do some things that way. Yeah. Don't know, which leads me into my next question for you. What's next? What are you guys up to? What's going to be the next expansion of Rupa? Are you adding any more lab companies? What's happening?
Oh yeah. Look out this week. More lab companies come in. There's a lot. We're very excited. We've been heads down working on some internal stuff. Mm-hmm. 2021 is going to be a really exciting year. I also think that this is a mistake that I've seen a lot of people who are starting businesses make, which is trying to do too much too fast rather than perfecting the thing that you have, because that will allow you to build a foundation on top of it. And so what we've been doing, and what I honestly foresee us doing, is just making this 10 times better than it is today. Nice. So that we can make patient care and delivery of testing that much simpler. But there's a lot of exciting stuff to hint at. So things like data analysis, things like plotting values, things like more expanded types of labs. There's a lot that's coming. Education as well.
Love it. Yes. Well, I'm a data nerd. All my folks who listen to this podcast know that I like details and data. So I am going to be the first one to be like, tell me more. I want to learn. So as you roll out new stuff, I will be keeping on top of it. And I would definitely love to chat more as to how we can keep helping you and keep you out there for all the folks that are listening, but also as to what is new and exciting within Rupa Health. Because I think this is just, it's part of the other reason I wanted to do this podcast is so that folks who are listening can be like, hey, doc, do you think you can get hooked up with these guys? That way I can get lab kits and I don't have to stop by your office and I don't have to have the company send me them directly, because sometimes those things don't always work out. Plus you guys give instructions, which...
Yep.
Game changing for sure.
And I think the thing that I've been really proud of our company being able to do is actually making the tests available for more people. So when COVID started, we started offering a 3-month payment plan for patients who couldn't pay, because this stuff gets expensive. And these are patients who are, I mean, I think a common misconception is a lot of people think about functional medicine and naturopathic medicine as things that are just nice to haves, in you know, optimizer type, biohacker type people, like I'm sure us. However, the people who we serve, and I'm sure the people who you serve, are the ones who are the most in need because they haven't found solutions anywhere else. And I think that's the thing that I've been really proud of, and I hope we continue to do, is to create more access for patients everywhere.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Tara, thank you so much for coming on and chatting all about Rupa Health and telling us your story and giving us some insights on business and dealing with businesses and just stress management as it is.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. This has been super fun.
I can't wait to doing another, wait to do another one where we can talk about all of the other things that are coming up with you.
Yeah, I'm so excited. There's a lot. I feel like there's a lot we can nerd out about too.
Hey, Health Junkies, I hope you enjoyed my podcast. If you want to continue the conversation based on what topic I'm talking about at any given time on the Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group, Find Your Health Fix. It's where we are talking about what's going on in health, what I'm talking about in the podcast, and I love to answer questions there. So come hang out and join the conversation. And by the way, right now I have a free Manage Your Stress Naturally course that you can grab on my website at drjkrausnd.com, because so many people are stressed out right now, and really it has to do with the basics, your routines and simple habits that are messing you up. So head on over to drjkrausnd.com and go check out my free course on managing stress naturally. All right, folks, have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.